Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A federal court sides with Christian employers in a religious freedom win. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, I think this decision is really going to set a great precedent for preserving religious freedom in future cases. This concerns the Christian Employers Alliance, which is a nonprofit network of Christian-owned organizations, and it works to protect religious freedom on behalf of Christian businesses and nonprofits. But recently, we had a federal judge in North Dakota that ruled that the Biden administration cannot force members of this alliance to perform medically mutilating procedures or provide health insurance coverage for such procedures in violation of their religious beliefs. This is a great victory.
That's a great victory. This CEA, or the Christian Employers Alliance, filed suit because of an EEOC guidance with regards to this issue. And so the federal judge, Daniel Traynor, sided with the Christian Employers Alliance and ordered the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, and the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, to permanently stop imposing two mandates that would have forced members of the CEA to pay for or facilitate medically mutilating procedures. Judge Traynor ruled that the unlawful mandates violate the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA, and impinges upon the religious beliefs of CEA's members.
You know, and this is another example of the Biden administration trying to push this radical agenda on religious people.
Yeah, this is this happens frequently with this administration, weaponizing the federal government against people of faith, pushing their radical agenda. And time after time after time, the courts have stopped the Biden administration in their unlawful activity. There are very few opportunities that the Biden administration have won. Most of these kinds of attempts that have been challenged, the Biden administration has lost. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's probably like in the 90% range or something that the Biden administration has lost. In this particular situation, the EEOC and HHS were attempting to improperly enforce sex discrimination laws in Title VII that says you can't discriminate on the basis of sex, and in the Affordable Care Act, respectively, they were trying to use that anti-discrimination on the basis of sex to broaden it out to say, well, you need to also cover this puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and mutilating surgery. So the Biden administration argues that since these laws prohibit discrimination based on gender identity, which they do not.
Right.
Title VII doesn't prohibit on gender identity. They authorize, he says, the federal government to mandate employers who receive federal funding to physically perform or fund procedures, treatments, or counseling that attempts to change a person's gender. Obviously, you can't change a person's gender. They are what they are.
And I kind of compare this to like forcing Christians to fund or perform abortion. It's the same kind of thing. It's a violation of your religious beliefs. And this judge made some really great statements in his opinion. He said that CEA's sincerely held religious belief is that male and female are immutable realities defined by biological sex, and that gender reassignment, those are his words, is contrary to Christian values. He also noted the government's position is that there is a compelling interest to protect access to these procedures and services for so-called transgender patients. Boy, that's a powerful true statement.
It is. He says, in the order granting or the injunction, the court determined that if CEA had to comply with these mandates, its members would have to violate their sincerely held religious beliefs, which is an impermissible exercise under the First Amendment and RFRA.
Always grateful when a judge gets it right.
Yeah. He goes on to say, even if the court were to accept the government's purpose for the mandates as a compelling interest, the government failed to provide any evidence showing this policy was the only feasible means to achieve its compelling interest. The judge also identified that the threat of harsh consequences, such as fines and civil liability for not abiding by the mandates, substantially burdened CEA's religious beliefs beyond compelling government interest to burden those beliefs. So it's a great decision by this federal judge. And, you know, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has come out with guidance recently. Guidance is not law. It's their dictates. And what we see happening in some of these particular areas here is there are people that are appointed for terms by the presidents. And so some of those people, whether it's an EEOC board or the other boards, that FCC, for example, they are appointed by a president as a political appointee, but they have a term that may be 5 years, for example. So many of those will be around until the next president. Then when that term expires, that president appoints. And so what Biden is doing on the EEOC as well as on the FCC is he's now starting to fill some of these positions, and it's tilting these administrative agencies to a very liberal, aggressive weaponization machine of the federal government, both the EEOC as well as the FCC.
That's why it's so important that we have judges and courts that not only, you know, advance, defend the Constitution, but as well as religious freedom.
Yeah, so this particular situation, the good thing about this is that the Christian Employers Alliance took an affirmative action. They didn't wait for this guidance, this directive, this mandate by the EEOC and the Department of HHS to be actually applied, and then they had to play the defensive. They went on the offensive, mm-hmm. and they filed a federal lawsuit on behalf of their members.
That's what we have to do.
And that's they won. And it's a good decision. There's some other decisions that have come out recently as well, siding with employers with respect to this issue. We have to continue to fight back for religious freedom. One of the things that's happening in Congress, we've mentioned it before, is H.R. 15, the so-called Equality Act. It is now five votes away from passing in the U.S. House, and that means it has 213 members of the Democrats. All of the Democrats are voting, supporting this bill. None of the Republicans right now are supporting it. If they get five more people, and there's a couple of seats, by the way, that are coming up for a special election, there's at least two, maybe three seats that are coming up for special election. If those go the wrong way, they get closer to the magic number of 218, which means if they get 218 votes, they can bypass the Speaker of the House. And against his objection, that bill can be placed on the floor, and with 218 votes, they'll be able to pass it. That H.R. 15, so-called Equality Act, will indeed be a sledgehammer to Christian employers, Christian schools, daycare centers, and even, for example, to women's abuse centers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some places right now, even without H.R. 15, the so-called Equality Act, and without some of these directives by the EEOC or HHS, that are struggling in certain states based upon state issues that they're dealing with, that are women's abuse centers.
Like these shelters, women go for protection as a haven, and then they're allowing men to come in there and
bunk with them.
Yes.
And so some of these women have been sexually abused, sexually assaulted, either domestically or outside of the domestic environment, and now they're abused sexually or otherwise, and they're in these shelters to get protection, and yet they're allowing men to come in there who I, quote, identify as a woman.
Well, the same thing in prisons, too. They're allowing these men to come in with women.
Well, you saw that one recent situation where a man was put in the same cell as a woman because he said he identified as a woman, and he used all kinds of foul and vulgar language against her, and she was trapped in that cell with this man.
And I believe he had been convicted of sexual rape, right?
He had been convicted of, sexual assault in the past. That's right. So this nonsense that you can change your gender is just ridiculous. It's a total rebellion against God who created you in his image. You are what you are. whether you're male or female, is determined at the moment of fertilization.
Two genders.
It's pretty
That's
simple.
It.
It's not 100 and some genders.
Right.
There's two.
And your chromosomes determine which one. Yeah.
Absolutely. So this particular case, great win. Continue to pray for in Christian employers, our ministry, as we help not only Christian employers across the country. We're doing a lot of consulting with employers with regards to their employment policies and other issues to make sure that they are well protected in the event of these kinds of assaults. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when, so we need to be ready. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.